Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
And this particular episode is one of our other center episodes. We are continuing to enjoy taking questions about whatever. We have a lot of questions left over from the strike era when we had put out questions for life. So we are continuing to grab those. But we're also going to be talking about our other Star Wars and life adventures that we had this week. First, we want to let you know, as always, that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. We are continuing to recommend The Path of Deceit. I should clarify, we're recommending that as a book, not a life choice. Yes. The Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan. Oh, we've become an evil show that recommends lying to your loved ones. No, Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan, the beginning of phase two of the High Republic, which is a whole phase ago now, but I read it recently and really enjoyed it. So if you'd like to check it out, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. Ken, we also have an ask.
We do have an ask, and we are showing our faces on YouTube as we lean into YouTube a little bit more going to 2024. We got some other cool things coming your way as we look towards this new phase. So to help that grow and make that even more possible, we're asking you to subscribe to the channel. We're looking for our next humble goal of 7,500. We're getting there. We appreciate those who have jumped on board with this phase. So maybe you can consider doing that by subscribing. Also hit that notification bell, leave a comment, like all those things, because we are, even if we want to fight against the algorithm, we're part of the algorithm game too. And it's just a reality situation, and it really helps. I want to thank all our Force Center listeners in Discord who heeded that call last week as well with the Ahsoka episode. So that's our goal. Can you subscribe? We ask humbly to consider. That's an ask.
It has been very nice to see those little green numbers that are pluses and not those red minus numbers.
Yes. Yes.
The internet always reflecting your own emotions back to you. Like to see the green positive numbers, not the red negative numbers.
Yeah.
Anyway. We're going to get into talking about life in Star Wars Adventures. Jennifer, what were your life or Star Wars Adventures this week?
No Star Wars Adventures, Squid Game Adventures. So I have a routine every night is I play Animal Crossing. And that's usually what I do before I go to bed. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm obsessed with it. I took over my daughter's island. It's all right. So my husband last week was like, I know you're playing Animal Crossing. You got Tom Nook duties to do. But yeah, he's yeah. like, why don't you watch Squid Game with me? I'm like, I do not want to watch the reality TV show based on this social commentary about, you know, capitalism and whatever, right? I was like, no. So he's watching it and I'm still playing and I'm like, oh, damn it, this is actually really engaging. This is pretty interesting. I am all in now. I have caught up. I think I'm on episode 6, maybe 7. It is so good. They produced that show so well, but it more than anything is about the people and the relationships. And I haven't watched reality TV in so long, let alone like a game show, right? And it still has that ominous feeling of you're seeing the money coming and the people leaving and you're like, oh shoot, and the betrayal. But it just, it's a really good show. I highly recommend it if you're not watching. I was skeptical. I didn't want to like it, but I do.
Wow, that's powerful. I haven't heard anybody watched it because I was so upset by the fact that it existed. So to hear that it is actually delving into some amount of humanity is really great, because it felt like the most tone deaf thing ever. I love Squid Game, but the show, but it was brutal. About, isn't it awful to be in this situation? Hey, everybody, let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. And seeing people come together, forming these alliances and then stabbing each other in the back. But then you also have these heartfelt moments and there's a mother and her son. Oh, my gosh. It's really good.
No, is Tom Nook watching? Something you can make Tom watch?
I put down my Switch. That's how you know it's a good show. I'm not watching. It will blame my Switch.
That's a great review metric. How many Switches did you put down?
Yeah.
This is a 5-switch down show. How about you, Ken? Any Star Wars or life adventures?
I did, but this is fascinating. There's so many, you know, I'm familiar with Animal Crossing from about 15 years ago, Jen, and that has a moral test of time travel, right? If you're going to take that time travel glitch that some people were doing back in 08, I remember that was a big moral discussion around Animal Crossing. If you can't try time travel, you get more bells. No, I had I had a good Star Wars experience and a refreshing one after a bad week. Just a bad week. It's been a bad – if we all just had a bad year, I just have those feelings.
Challenging.
Yeah, but that's a good way to look at it, because there's a lot of joy in that. And, yeah, I had just got over a bout of COVID, my first. Yay, I finally won. I won a ticket. And it was very mild compared to a lot of other cases, but it lingered and it affected a lot of things. And I lost a job and had to cancel a stand-up show. And I just was feeling down. But I did have one gig I had to go do. And I was blessed to host this panel, LA Comic Con, the artists behind your favorite characters in Galaxy Far, Far Away. And it was with a lot of the head of Lucasfilm hair department, Alexei Dmitriev, the makeup designer and artist, sculptors and painters, the soft goods, Brian Matyas, who does concept art, and you know, Chris Bartlett, who does a lot of droid building and droid acting. He's actually C-3PO in a lot of spots when Anthony Daniels isn't. And all that to say, it was a fun experience. As a moderator, you're just there to pull it out of them and stay out of the way. It was fun to see them not just talk about their experiences, but at least there's seven people on the panel. At one point, all of them got emotional in describing something they were doing for the show or series. And it was weird. There were some limitations on what we could say, words and names we could not say. And so sometimes we were talking around things, but there was stuff in the Ahsoka series that even one of the sculptors started crying by recounting one of the characters he was designing, seeing things come to life. And it just spoke to the passion of the creators and why we do what we do when, even if a show doesn't hit or we have some questions or there's some challenging things, we always want to highlight the fact that those creating this series, those acting in these series, do so with a great passion and a desire to get it right. That sometimes social media just wants to trample on that idea, the very idea of that existing. Doesn't mean everything's going to end up perfect or everything is executed great on screen. Totally, totally get it. Always have got that. Never have not got that. But to see these people who were involved with it crying, not even holding back tears, crying about going, this is what that character meant when I sculpted or when I sewed, when I put the makeup on. Because not just because I'm a Star Wars fan, I am, but I want to get it right. And it was moving. And then I also got to spend time at LA conventions outside of celebrations, Anaheim, Chicago, 2019 in London. I haven't been inside a convention hall in about 4 or 5 years. Obviously some stuff happened in the world that kept us out of them, but I haven't, even last couple of years going down to San Diego Comic Con, I just went for a comedy show. I didn't go to thing, you know, and they're busy, but I got to walk around both days. Saturday I was there for a little bit and Sunday I was there for more time and to reconnect with the energy of people having these shared passions for a bunch of different kind of fandoms, seeing all the cosplay, a lot of Shin Hati, very popular cosplay right now. A lot of that, a lot of Morgan Elsbeth, a lot of that stuff. But just see that beyond even Star Wars, it was something I needed. I'd been disconnected from for a while, and it was a fun reminder. And I didn't buy anything, not tempted by anything. Well, there's a couple of pins I was going to get, but I couldn't get a hold of. Didn't have time. But it was just good. So it was overall good experience. As we emerge from a complicated year, as you said, a challenging year. So it was a good reminder.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and I think you're so right, is that everybody has a right to judge the quality of shows and movies. And if they think a wig doesn't look good or that doesn't, that live action character doesn't look like that, great. But there can be this just boiling it down to this faceless they or Disney got so-and-so's headpiece wrong.
Yeah.
And to reconnect with, like, no, a human tried really hard. And of course you can disagree with the results, but please keep the human in your heart is so important.
It you speak on it a lot, Joseph, of, you know, like or dislike what you like, but when you start really assigning ideas and thoughts to the motives of the creators, they clearly, JJ went into Reddit. He did not. No, he didn't. And you know he didn't.
Yeah, or this person never saw Cad Bane in the Clone Wars or whatever. Like,
yes.
Right.
Pretty sure they did a lot.
They did. And this wasn't an easy decision. Yeah, like this was months and months and months and months of work. Anyways, all that to say, I'm going to repeat the point. But yeah, it was pretty powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. What was the audience like? Were people excited to see that panel? Did it have good attendance?
Sunday was lighter, but it was very, well attended. And they were doing right after they were doing a tribute to Shauna Tripsik, panel. And so a lot of the same people were on it and it was cool. There was a lot of folks in the audience who worked with these people, all kind of, you know, these companies and people that work for or with Lucasfilm and design and stuff. So the vibe was solid. And, like I said, there were some frustrating limitations of what we could talk about. Or even names of people we could say or not say. But so that was trying to, they're bursting out of the seams. But it was a lot of fun. And just the convention overall was a fun experience. I even got, all these years of going to these conventions, my dream was to get a street hot dog. And I finally did it. Because it ended up being such a good panel. There were some complications getting to that just the creative process of that panel, as I kind of hinted at. I walked out and I went, I'm doing it. And I had a street dog on the way back to my car and it was beautiful.
Bacon wrapped?
Bacon wrapped, onions.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I did the whole thing.
That's such a beautiful smell. For me, it's always it's like that's the smell of leaving Hollywood Bowl.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, I do say Hollywood Boulevard after clubbing. That's back in the day.
It's a different smell. Is a good segue to my life adventures. I was in Vegas this weekend for a film festival, and some people were trying to compare and contrast like the smell of Hollywood Boulevard to the smell of the Strip. Of like, what's different or the same about this mass of humanity?
Yeah.
Interesting conversation. But yeah, the short film that I worked on this year, The Nightmare Adorable, was playing in Vegas at a festival called the Sin City Horror Fest. Festival was really well run, which is really nice. And it was well received and all that. And I was thrilled to go because I, you know, I made the short film, want to go to all these film festivals. But like in my heart, I'm like, I want to apply to places that I want to go to anyway, apply anywhere. Right. Yeah, but like, this was the first one is like, it looked like a good festival, but I also wanted to go to Vegas and have a reason to do it. So it was really fun. It was all up in the Fremont Street Experience, the old Vegas, area. I stayed in an older, smaller place called El Cortez. That was really fun.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, okay. Yeah.
You've been to El Cortez?
No, I've always wanted to stay there. Well, I want some notes off camera.
Oh yeah, no, it was really good and really smoky. It's wow, I forget. And in those smaller casinos, you really feel that. I felt like I time traveled. I felt like I walked into 1997 with the smoke. So that was all fun. It's a little. My wife couldn't make it to the film festival because she had to work this weekend. I hung out with people and met some filmmakers. I put on my big boy pants and introduced myself to strangers and met some people, and that was great. But then for my like, I'm going to run around Vegas and just alone. It's weird to be in Vegas alone. There was a neon sign for an old motel called the Lone Palm Motel. And it's like, that's me this weekend, man. I'm a lone palm. I'm a lone palm. And I don't mean that as any sort of obvious joke. Anyway, the Star Wars adventures that found me then, so it's like I was doing my horror film. I was, going to Rat Pack Sinatra spots and in kind of like enjoying all these other different aspects of what I enjoy in life. And then Star Wars found me like a block from the theater. There was a great toy store called Rogue Toys. And they had the wall of figures, vintage figures too. So it looked like back in the day. I have been resisting buying him on the internet because I wanted to find him in the wild. I found a Hunter from the Bad Batch in the wild. So great.
That's great.
Brought him up to the counter and the guy working there was like, we got the big one too. We got him in 6 inches. Like, nope. So I'm walking out of the store just happy as can be because I found a toy in the wild, which is my dream. And they had a big, weird giraffe, like taller than me, stuffed animal that was, I think it was kind of supposed to be Jeffrey from Toys R Us. But just this massive giraffe. And I turned around and was like, I don't be weird, but is it okay if I take a picture with your giraffe? And he's like, yeah, that's great. And I don't think it was a connected thought. I think it just flowed together. But I was like, hey, can I take a picture with your giraffe? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then he's like, Siri, play Ozzy Osbourne. I think he just wanted to listen to Ozzy Osbourne in that moment, but it was like he was putting on a soundtrack for my giraffe picture.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh,
that's great.
It's pretty much that as I snapped the picture and then just very quickly because we got some cues to get to in the hotel room. I was flipping through channels in that the TNT Star Wars marathon was happening.
That's right. And yes,
Ken, I know you do this all the time. I kind of watch a little Star Wars in the background. I don't normally do that. I haven't done that for years.
Yeah,
and it was so great. I got to my hotel at like 2:30 a.m. And it was the conclusion of Phantom Menace right into Rogue One. It was just fun to see them that way. It was just fun to see them.
Yeah. I was Sunday morning, was doing some last second preparation for the panel, was watching some football. But before the game started, I was like, oh, Empire Strikes Back is on. Oh, yeah. And I watched like 10 minutes of just, it's that Star Wars in the wild. Figures or the movies or shows. It's great.
I was almost late leaving my hotel because I was watching Empire in the morning on Sunday. Anyway, those are some life and Star Wars adventures. We are now going to head into our cues. Our first one comes to us from Chris King. Chris says, hello, Joseph, Ken, and Jennifer. I'm curious about coming of age stories. I'm a high school English teacher who is often tasked with teaching 9th and 10th graders coming of age literature. Sure, it can be said that a galaxy somewhere far away with a young farm boy on a sand planet is a pretty good coming of age story. But what about your favorite novels or plays or video games that convey the same message? Personally, I'm a big fan of Tom Perrotta's Bad Haircut and Stephen Chbosky's The Perks of Being a Wallflower. What are your favorites? Thank you for taking my question and for all your honesty and positivity. Listening to you all is always one of the best parts of my day. Thank you very much, Chris. This is a very kind and a great question. Ken, I believe you have some show and tell for the video side that you went and picked up physically some of your books.
I went with the books more than anything. Plays and video games are there as well. I mean, my love of Red Dead Redemption is well documented. I wouldn't call that a coming of age story, but a coming of death story, which is also kind of a certain growth that I might go through as well. I focused on the books because he mentioned Tom Perrotta, who wrote Election, and Election is one of my favorite books as well as one of my movies. And he has a book called Joe College that's great as well. Perrotta's kind of got a coming of age kind of a specialty in his skill set there. Just running through various ones. There's a book when I was turning 30. Well, I think you were both were around me when I was turning 40 and was going through that crisis, which ended up being not much of a crisis, but 30 was, 30 is a big number. And there was a book by Jonathan Tropper called Plan B. And the subtitle is Plan B, a novel. 30 Shit is the name of it. And turning 30 was never supposed to be like this. It helped me. It helped get through, and it's a little pop culture heavy too. And it's not discussed. I don't know if it got optioned, a lot of books in my selection here got optioned, and that's how a lot of people know the books include. I didn't read Election until I saw the movie. But Jonathan Tropper, Plan B is good. I include Shop Girl by Steve Martin, the novella, love the movie as well. It's three people having their own coming of age lessons, and then the oldest character doesn't really fully learn it or change really. I really do love the book and the movies. It's powerful. I think it's a coming of age for Jesus. It's Christopher Moore's Lamb is one of my favorite books. I haven't read in a while, but The Gospel According to Biff, Christ's childhood pal. It's a, kind of a fictional look at, Jesus had a best friend and you don't hear from him and why. And then it goes into a lot of the lessons as Jesus goes from 13 on to 30 and beyond to his death here and everything. And it's about my writing partner, Matt Key, hooked me up with this one. And I got the Bible version. So it looks like you're reading the Bible. And the final, I'm a big Nick Hornby fan. And sometimes there's discussions around stuff, including High Fidelity. And especially as time goes on, totally get that. I think High Fidelity, I've written about High Fidelity before in my old music journalist days. Sometimes much like when we discussed Darth Vader, the lessons you're supposed to get elevated as you get celebrated when they're supposed to be learned. And there's a lot in the book, High Fidelity, that is, this isn't a good behavior. It's a fun behavior. It's a common behavior. It's a, a music fan behavior, but there's things to move past it. And that's part of the big lessons of the character, both Rob Fleming in the book and Rob Gordon in the movie. So High Fidelity remains my favorite. And then About a Boy, both the movie and the book, but the book versions, the Hugh Grant led movie, Nicholas Hoult's wonderful. The book is almost entirely different in that it is also a story about the death of Kurt Cobain and what that does. So I highly recommend that version if people haven't read it. End of Book Center for me.
So Ken, I got to ask you. You had a lot of picks. Mm-hmm. You had them readily available on your shelf. Mm-hmm. You are being time conscious. And you were rattling through them at a really great clip, getting to the point of almost like, is he going to start auctioning these books?
They're for sale. Yeah.
You have a lot. You speak about them passionately. They're easily accessible. Why do you think you're drawn to the coming of age story? And also specifically, a lot of the coming of age is not, I think, what some of us think of coming of age as young adult books, teen or preteen into adulthood. You're talking about 25 to 30 kind of coming of age, yeah. accepting and acknowledging actual adulthood.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're drawn to those stories?
I think it's because, one, I didn't get to experience a lot of that in my life. We've talked about the protective center. So I've never seen Stand By Me. I've never seen all that kind of stuff. I didn't experience that stuff. And I was therefore a late bloomer by default. And so wrestling with a lot of the emotions and not being prepared for it, stories like this kind of helped me see it and get through it. And then the lesson, you know, you can continue to learn and should continue to learn. So that's why, you know, and that era when I was actually 10, 12 and 13, I wasn't reading, you know, Star Wars books or, you know, Heir of the Empire, or which are their own kind of coming of age tales, obviously, as even Chris mentioned. So yeah, I think a lot of that kind of coming of age was later for me, and that makes sense that the lesson would come a little bit later than it should, or start at least.
Yeah. Coming of emotional age, if you didn't get a chance to when you're a teen, it's that resonates with me. Jennifer, I think you and I both thought about this as movies. I had in my notes coming of age movies, and then I read Chris's question again this morning. It was like, oh. Well, damn. So I had a couple movies, but I also have a couple of books and video games. But I wanted to pitch to you, what do you have on your list, Jennifer?
Yes, I'm ashamed that I misread this. And also, I was an English major, so I should have more titles at the ready. I don't. My brain is fried. But what I will say is that a lot of this comes down to like being a parent and introducing my kids to these coming of age stories. And so like for my daughter, she's been interested in graphic novels. So like Amethyst, Princess of Gemworld. But what I really want her to read, which is on my shelf over there, is Leia, Princess of Alderaan. That is one of the best coming of age stories I've read in a long time that resonated with me, an adult. But yeah, going back to how I misinterpreted it, I would say the thing about my kids is that like I grew up, and I didn't realize this until I was a parent, I grew up watching the Stand By Me's, the ETs, whatever, all these male protagonists. And I had no problem identifying with these characters. It really helped me a lot in my life. But with my kids, because there is so many more female protagonists, they want to see that more often. And so what's been happening is the, you know, newer Disney movies, Moana, Frozen, Turning Red, these are the types of heroes' journeys, coming of age stories that they're really gravitating towards. And there's so many great ones. There's on Netflix, Wolfwalkers, or the new movie, not new, newish movie, Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. Even shows like Monster High, Hilda, so many stories that can help my kids, because this is what it's about, like navigating those tricky social dynamics. Like when you're a young person, facing your fears, going on these epic quests where there's danger, right? But also showing these characters being active, because my kids are really sporty and like climbing trees, right? Showing these characters being active, showing these characters being brave, and eventually embracing whatever quirk or thing that makes them unique. And it's so cathartic for my children to watch these types of, you know, this type of content. And thank goodness that there's so many. Now I just have to work on the book side of it. Asking for some more recommendations, Chris.
Yeah, I really understand, because I also think, not that there aren't coming of age stories of all kinds, but you know, since we were kids, young adult has become such, you know, a specific part of publishing, and you know, has its own section in most bookstores and all that. And some of the Star Wars books that we've, you know, read over the years, like Leia, Princess of Alderaan, and Rebel Rising, all sorts of books like that, are they're young adult books. They're the Ahsoka book by E.K. Johnston. They are coming of age. Like the world is rougher and harder than we thought, and we how do we step into it and retain everything about ourselves and empower ourselves while admitting that the world's real complicated and hard. So I was like, I didn't have like young adult books. And the program that I was in high school had tragedy as its theme. So like when I was actually really needing these books, like 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, I was reading Hamlet, which is a coming of age story, but from a way. So I realized like one of the, like, my sort of young adult book back in the day was Great Expectations by Dickens. And it was in that time where I wanted to read classics because I liked that idea, but also, but sometimes I was like, I want to like this book, but I don't really get it. And Great Expectations was one of those, like, how was this written a long time ago? This is this kid Pip who likes this girl,
yeah,
is in lots of trouble, can't figure things out. Like, yeah. I'm Pip, you know. And I think that is so the power can be the power of coming of age stories, of feeling like, oh, I'm used to hearing tales of adults or tales mm-hmm. of heroes who are already fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of being able to step into the shoes of somebody who's not fully formed, Great Expectations was one of the first times that I got to do that. And I haven't revisited it in years, but it meant a ton to me. Here's a real strange choice. And there are some problematic parts of it. But It by Stephen King, I also read at a really, you know, good time. Mm-hmm. And that book goes back and forth between adults with lives that didn't turn out the way they really wanted them to, being young outsiders who bonded together. So it's a very different kind of coming of age story, but that meant a lot to me. Other one I will mention for video games is, I was already an adult, but still struggling. Ocarina of Time, the Legend of Zelda game. I think another power of the coming of age story is feeling a part of it, seeing yourself in it. Like we're talking about, Ocarina of Time is literally that of you put it, it's the character's Link, but you put in your name, and I put in my initials, JAS. So it was Jazz and it had the little text box, you know? And when you start out, it's telling you like, you need to do this, Jazz. And like, you start out literally powerless of like, I have almost no weapons. I have a crappy little wooden sword. And then, you know, pretty soon they're like, Jazz, it's time to be the hero of time. Can you save everyone? And it really puts you in the shoes of like, I don't feel ready. I'm not equipped. But in order to become equipped, I have to go into this dungeon and become more equipped to be the person I need to be. Ocarina of Time is a great coming of age story. And I think a lot of video games are because it literally puts you in the shoes of someone who must grow up and become equipped literally and emotionally.
That's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. Off topic. I'm a big fan of the 1998 film version of Great Expectations. It's sometimes maligned, and I'm even looking at a critic Rotten Tomatoes score, all that kind of BS. It's lowly rated. That movie hit me at the right time. It's a modern rock and roll adaptation of it. Alfonso Cuarón directed it. I've always loved it. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've never seen it. I got to watch that because in reread Great Expectations, it's a powerful story. I think it holds up. Mm-hmm. Two movies that I thought of. Rick Famuyiwa, who Star Wars fans know from his work. His film Dope is amazing.
Yes.
Because it is, you know, it's very naughty. There are bad words and there's sexy stuff and all that. But it is absolutely a coming of age story. It is good, bad, or otherwise. These are the challenges of the world and you have to face them. Can you step up and face them? It's really powerful. And then I'll plug it any chance I get. It's a sort of stunted coming of age story because it's about somebody who didn't get the opportunity to go through a normal process. That's all the more I'm going to say about that. Brigsby Bear. And if you've never seen Brigsby Bear, if you don't know about Brigsby Bear, I went to it in the theater because it has Mark Hamill and a bear and I knew nothing else. And it was great. And it's a great, very different kind of coming of age story.
I love that. I still got to see that.
Oh yeah. Let me know. We can do another center on Brigsby Bear.
There we go.
All these years later. Any other thoughts on coming of age stories before we take a quick break?
No, it's coming of age is an ongoing process. That's my lesson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're a fan of Barbie, which I still haven't seen it, but America Ferrera's first film, I believe Real Women Have Curves. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is a great coming of age story. Oh yeah. That's a good one. It's been so long since I've seen it. Sorry, I'm getting lost in thought here. But,
totally understandable. A lot to think about with the coming of age books. Well, those are all of our recommendations for reading, watching, and playing. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with one more cue.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We have one more Q to go in this episode of Qs of the Other. This one comes to us from Steve Nort. Steve says, hey, Other Center, what are your personal coffee habits and home brewing setups like? For me, it's usually 2 cups a day, first thing in the morning and another in the afternoon to get me through the last couple hours of work. I use a V20 pour-over technique with beans I buy from a local roaster and hand grind before each cup. I am clearly a little obsessed. Ha ha, says Steve. Thanks. Steve, this is a great question. Maybe one of the most deeply intimate questions we've ever faced here on Core Center, Other Center. But before we get into our actual coffee rituals, process, grinding techniques today, I'm curious about the beginning of your journeys with coffee. Ken, when did you start on coffee and how?
Late. Hey, that's just a theme for my life. Late bloomer in a lot of things, and coffee was one of them. My parents, I think my mom eventually became a coffee drinker, or I knew her to be. Like, I don't remember her. Definitely not my dad. I don't think my dad has ever had a cup of coffee. He just doesn't. Maybe that's wrong. I don't know. I've never heard him mention the word coffee. So I wasn't raised with it, with a lot of things in my life. And eventually what happened is I was the security director of the farmer's market, and there was the coffee corner is a coffee restaurant there. And there's the Starbucks and Coffee Bean, and there's Bob's Donuts with coffee corner. And it was right outside my office. And lot of things in life. There's a cute girl that worked there, and I figured I'll try this coffee thing that everyone's, what's a latte? I don't know. Eventually we dated for like 4 years. So the coffee habit stuck. From there, it's been a regular part of my life. And then what Steve mentions, I'm laughing because like, I only have one cup a day. We'll get into the process. But like when I went to the other mall and there's several coffee shops inside the mall, I was the security director there. Like that was like a 3 or 4 cup thing because there was nothing else to do on some days, you know, morning, lunch, afternoon coffee. Cause it was like, you'd text your coworker in the office. You want to get coffee? And that's on a boring day. You were blessed to have a boring day. That's what we did.
So, on your approach to try coffee in order to chat to an attractive human, how did you approach that? Did you approach it with the meet cute? I've never had coffee before at all. Or did you try to pretend to be an old pro?
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm good at meet cutes, but my coworker, the operations manager, Rhonda, really important person in my life, especially in that period, kind of an older sister when I needed one. And she was a coffee drinker. So I kind of did that like, yeah, I'm going to saunter up to the coffee bar and get what you're having. until I could get, Steve's speaking to coffee culture. I'm definitely not a part of that, though I enjoy it. I fake it till you make it.
I'll have what Rhonda's having. A great pickup line.
But really unaffected, you know, like, what she's having.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh.
I'm too cool to talk about lattes, but whatever. What was Rhonda having? Was it a straightforward coffee drinker?
No.
Double upside down fracca mocha.
It was one of that. And eventually, if I go back there to this day and the owner was my former girlfriend's mom and her aunt works there still. I walk up and I go, I'll have my coffee. And it's like a double mocha caramel drip on the top. It's a 2000 calorie drink, but that became my regular. And now I'm wondering why I had weight problems during that era.
How about you, Jennifer? What was your journey with coffee? Did you start early?
I was first introduced to it. My parents never drank it, but my uncle did. And so during the holidays, he would come over and stay at our house. And so I would smell coffee in the morning because he was also an early riser, unlike my parents. And so I had a very positive association with it. And then my first job, I think I've talked about before, was working at a coffee shop at the mall. And so that was where I got into, you know, mocha frappuccinos and all that stuff, right? It was all the sugary stuff. But it really taught me about like the importance of grinding your own beans and the types of beans and blah, 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 different roasts. And then it's become a ritual. Like when I worked at Disneyland, there was nothing like it. I would go maybe a little bit before the park opened. I'd go to Main Street and I'd go to the Carnation.
Carnation.
Mm. Yeah. And I would get a latte or something like that. Right. Oh my gosh. It was nothing like it. And the sound of the music, especially during the holidays, just beautiful. Yeah. Disneyland's incredible. Now I rely upon it. I need it. And so I cannot start my day without it. As you guys, I'm drinking this. I don't know how many hours. I don't even know how many cups I'm on. I don't even keep track of my cups anymore. It's probably like 3-4 cups. Wow. I don't talk to anyone in the morning until I have my coffee. And even then, it needs to be halfway consumed before I'm like civil. It needs to be ready first thing. So I used to do like what you're talking about, Steve. I would kind of, you know, I'd grind it and I'd do the drip over coffee. No. Don't have the time for that. We do a self timer the night before. It is ready.
That's great.
It is ready at 6:30, just in case I wake up a little bit early, 6:30, and I can smell it. And it's like, I travel downstairs, I waft downstairs, and then I get my cup.
Immediately. That's amazing.
I could go on and on. I love it.
That's great.
Well, yeah, no. We will have some follow-up questions.
Yeah.
the pre-setup. That sounds beautifully indulgent. For me, because it explains my lack of finesse in my process. My father, the old man, has a mania for hard black coffee.
It's
very Minnesotan. He drinks it like he is putting, you know, gas in his 1950 Chevy panel truck. It's his fuel. And so he and my mom drank it. And for me growing up, it was just sort of like, it wasn't about like a choice or like you can so like this idea, like maybe some people drink tea or some people drink coffee. It's like when you're an adult, you have a job and you drink coffee. Yeah. And these are two true things. So it was just like, when will it happen for me? Mm. And then, you know, being a big fan of Twin Peaks and Agent Cooper, I was just like, I'm starting. Cause there were a couple episodes of Twin Peaks. Like I want to drink along with Agent Cooper. And I made hot chocolate. And I was like, no, I was like, Dad, I want coffee. And he's like, well, great. You know? And then in college, you know, I loved like, you know, reading or writing in little notebooks at coffee shops. And I loved the sort of the romance of the late night coffee mm-hmm. shop and the late night diner hang and the sort of the Tom Waits version of drinking sloppy coffee given to you by, you know, a rude but heart of gold waitress while you write poetry. Like that's still coffee to me up to a point.
I sip my coffee in the morning. Yeah,
exactly. Bean overpour in the coffee of my soul. Yeah, so it has a romance to me for sure, and then a practical place in my life as I've become addicted to it and needing it. So, Ken, I want to hear about your process. What do you do these days?
Yeah, it is part of my routine. I have a cup every morning. I've just started a YouTube show on my channel called 20 Minutes of Coffee, but I start it a little too late in the day at 10 a.m. So I have to wait for my coffee on those days. It's a weird, I should have branded different, but it's usually first thing I do. And yeah, Steve, I respect what you're saying. I think if Grace had her druthers, that's how we'd have our coffee every morning if we weren't going to a local shop. There's a lot of great local shops in where we are in Burbank. Because we do have
You physically leave the house every day?
No. About once a day. But it used to be part of like going to I met Grace working at Collider, and like that was part of the morning routine. Was you get there, if you got there early enough, we could walk up to Panera and get coffee every day. It was a little alone time for us. Or there's the shops on the way into the studios, and I like kind of like what you're saying, Jen. It's just that early morning, the day's about to start. No music from Disney playing, unless it's in my head. So we have a coffee machine. The timer thing is great, but I hate grinding beans. And I understand it's technically the better way. I get angry if I accidentally buy the bean version. I don't ain't nobody got time for that. I don't got time to grind down. I want it to be ready to go. Scoop, scoop, scoop. I'm pretty good at making coffee. But a couple years ago, we were gifted with a Nespresso, which is the emphasis is on recycling there, and not just, it's not like the cups get just tossed into the wilderness. You mail them back, all this thing. It's too damn easy to change. It is just wonderful flavors. Press a button, 20 seconds, you got a coffee and it's ready to go. And that's my routine now. I'm half asleep when I'm slamming the Nespresso in there and closing the thing and pressing brew.
Just pressing, slamming the button.
Yeah, it's a cheat.
Slamming and brewing.
I said, Steve, you're probably offended. You're the better man than I am. I press.
Steve's not done being offended. I don't think because he's clearly an expert in not myself. Are you just morning these days, Ken, or do you drink coffee throughout the day?
I have a lot of caffeine burst during the day, but I used to be an energy drinker until an old coworker of mine died at 35 of a heart attack, and his steady diet was cigarettes and Red Bulls like that and Monsters.
Oh my
gosh. That made me change. And I've stopped all that now. But there's a V8 energy drink I get that's more on the quote unquote natural side. I'm sure it's not even great, but it's those little bursts of caffeine. I do need them during the day, but it's so weird because like at 4 o'clock, I'd go to the mall coffee shop. It didn't seem weird to me. Now a coffee past 1 o'clock, I'm like, you have sinned in the eyes of the Lord. What are you doing? You know, that's abnormal.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way of like, you know, I used to have, you know, I used to go to like, oh, it's time to meet a friend at 6 p.m. at a coffee shop to talk about life. And I will have four cups that are like, they're like literally they serve soup in these cups. The same cups, and I'll have four of four soup-sized cups of coffee. And I'm used to like, well, it's normal just to be rattling, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to put a quarter in the bed. I had enough coffee that I'm shaking the entire bed by myself. Yeah. And then I got to that point of just like, I can't
do it.
Live like this anymore. So there's sometimes in the afternoon, like, oh, I'd really like a cup of coffee. But I'm now getting to the point of like, I will be bouncing off the walls. So yeah. I try to keep it to a nice morning ritual. But it sounds like for you, Jennifer, you're a coffee throughout the day person?
No, I have to stop because otherwise I'll stay up until 2 o'clock like I did last night. Why? Because my coffee cup was sitting there. I'm like, oh, I'll just have finish the rest of what I had. And that was like at 5 o'clock. Never again.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I think I need to see my cardiologist after you told me that story again. Oh my gosh. I don't drink Red Bulls, but like I do drink a lot of coffee.
When I say that guy, and rest in peace, my old buddy, I do mean cigarettes and Red Bulls. There wasn't much else that he put into his body.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That'll do it. I understand. So Jennifer, you've got the machine. Are there, and you grind the beans. Where do you get the beans? Are you picky about it? Are you a connoisseur?
I used to be picky. When I first started drinking regular coffee, I would get like the flavored beans, you know, like the vanilla flavored or even caramel flavored. No, not anymore. So now we just buy them from Costco. They have a great selection. Although I can tell when my husband has changed something up and I'm like, what is this roast? This does not taste right. It's too bitter. It's too sour. And I use a Silk non-dairy creamer. I put a lot of it in there. So it's like probably half cream, half coffee, which is not great. And I can tell, once again, my husband will sometimes be nice and bring me some coffee and he puts like a splash and I just drink it like, thank you so much.
So that's why you can drink more is because you are spacing it out of the day with cream.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's really bad.
Yeah. No, that's great. I have finally become like my old man is like, I want it black, or like Cooper says, black is a moon on a moonless night. Black is a moonless night.
I know that I get like, I remember time working towards the end of the Collider run on Jedi Council when I went to get some coffee and I turned to Emma Fife. I was like, you want some coffee? She was like, you're great. What do you want? And she was like, oh, absolutely nothing. And I was like, I don't understand what that means. Well, what? Like, sugar? No, just black. I'm like, what? No.
Wow. No. Good for her. All right.
I really like it that way. Yeah. So we have a coffee maker, a nice coffee maker that a friend gave us as a wedding gift. I made jokes about the coffee maker in a stand up routine, and the coffee maker's name was Devin. So we call it Devin. But sadly, Devin passed away a couple of years ago. Oh, we haven't even got rid of him. He's still on our counter, but he's just there. Oh, no. He's just stopped working.
Oh. New Pixar movie.
Yeah. And my wife and I have gone back over the years of tea, but she's solidly for the last couple of years been like, I want tea. So we have a hot water maker. So we make hot water in the morning and she makes our tea. And she devised this, again, apologies, Steve. We are not at your level. I have a travel mug and she got a little pour over thing and we have filters. Mm-hmm. And then I buy Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee because it's just at home diner coffee. It's
so good.
Coffee you get in a diner and it's what I like the taste of. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's good. This is like me with my Tombstone frozen pizzas. I am not advocating that they're good and other people should eat them. I am telling you, I have an addiction.
Yeah.
But they have good coffee. They do. It's pretty good.
I think it's good. And I think other people are like, ooh. But I really like it because it just does taste like solid diner coffee. Like I can have this at home.
Mm-hmm.
So that travel mug makes basically two mugs. And I drink that and I cut myself off and I try to get it finished drinking it by a certain time. So like it's a ritual. It's a morning thing. I try not to let it linger.
Yeah.
Which is partially from, going on tour sometimes and needing my body to be ready to go, if at all humanly possible.
Yeah.
At a reasonable time, get the coffee in there, wake up, have a tiny chihuahua bladder, get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a question for both of you too, is the speed at which you drink it. I get accused. Grace and I will go for our walk. We'll go get a coffee. and I'll guzzle it like it's a Gatorade and I'm done. Mm. And she's like, you got to sip coffee culture. You got to sip. And I'm like, it's liquid. I'm down in this. And it sounds like Joseph, a little bit. You're like, you don't want to let it linger, but you're not super rushless to need to. But Jen, are you a sipper?
I'm a sipper. I'm an enjoyer. It's a ritual. It feels like the only thing that's sacred for me. Mm-hmm. Like nothing is sacred in my house. My children go through my jewelry, my collectibles, my coffee.
Stay out of mama's beans.
I literally was like, that is my toy. I said that the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really sad. Yeah. So coffee, this is just like my moment. Mommy's time.
I love that.
But there is something to be said. Like if I get an iced, this is why I can't do like an iced coffee or like a matcha blended or something like that. I will sip it way too fast and then it's gone. And I would be like, you can on the walk by that time we get home. That's it. It's gone.
Especially if I'm doing it on ice, if it's a hotter summer day or something, like we're going for the walk. Mm-hmm. Like and I'm not saying I'm right. I used to take a little bit more time at the mall. I'd sip. Take my time. I got in a huge fight at the mall one time in a stairwell with a cup of coffee in it, and it spilt on the guy. But that gave me an advantage. I felt bad. But oh yes. So ever since, I'm
picturing
like,
that
sip.
Sip before you have to fight. I'm picturing that the brutal stairway fight in Casino Royale, but with a cup of coffee.
It was a four-level parking structure on the top, and it was this big five-on-five fight, and I was in a suit doing the coffee, and then I just was like, and the guy was like, ah! So coffee's helped me more ways than one, yeah.
Yeah, there you go, adventurous. Yeah, I try to sip, and then sometimes I realize that I've been sipping too long. There have been many moments right before recording Four Center where I slam a cup of coffee to clear it out of the way. Get ready.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Any final coffee thoughts or apologies to Steve for our? I mean, Jennifer has a fancy setup. Jennifer, not you or I.
You're not offended as much as I am, Joseph. I think you're okay, but I feel bad, Steve. But this is, I mean, I just buying from a local roaster. Hand grinding awesome. Before each cup. I don't even know what a V20 pour is. Is that some technique? That's some technique that we got to use? V20
pour over technique. That sounds like some cool motorcycle that I've never heard of. Like, yeah. I got a V20 pour over. Yeah, I wrote it out to the ocean.
Isn't that what they have at what is that shop? Telehensia? You know the coffee shop?
Telehensia.
Isn't that like what they have?
There's a spot in downtown, near downtown Burbank, that serves an Al Pacino, Al Fripp. It's like a play on Al Pacino's name. And it's based on that. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Intelligent. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Googling V20 pour over, okay. Well, that's not correct. I mistyped something and my searches came up with something about hepatitis. So let's move on.
Oh, no.
Clearly a very bad mistype on my part. This is what I get for Googling live.
Okay. That's it. See, that's like intelligentsia.
Yeah, intelligentsia. Oh. There you go. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then they pour it and it's like it takes forever when you're waiting in line. But at home, it's a ritual, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 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 Well, that's really cool.
God, you made me think of it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, when the coffees take too long, I skip. I'll like in Starbucks, I'm always like, give me a tall, give me a grande, a tall and a grande cup is a little trick, you know, so you get a little extra room, but you pay less. And I like to skip ahead. Mm. And when someone's like, oh, right. Like I don't disrespect the orders. I get it. But like, if that's a long line at a coffee shop, just order a coffee and get the hell out of the way. That's my other tech.
We are one in the same, Ken. I do the same thing. I love a latte with almond milk, but if that line is long, I'm like, just coffee. That's it. Black coffee.
Yep. It is one of, I think, the things where I'm the worst at being a grump about changing times. I've been at like hotels for conventions that like have fancy places that don't just have a coffee, and it brings out the worst, like, why'd the world have to change? Just give me a coffee. Do you have hot coffee in a cup? Like, that's what I don't want, any of the latte, any of that. I want a coffee in a cup. I gotta watch myself. I'm the worst grump about that.
That's like Dennis Leary has an old rant about that. That's amazing. It's an old, it's
yeah
yeah that's a, I get you on that. I feel you on that.
Yeah. Even the rant is old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any final coffee thoughts?
Yes, I do. I have one. I just remembered something. So when I went to Spain years ago, I was really excited because I'm like, oh, we're just going to get a coffee. They have really good coffee. We'll get it to go. They do not do to go, at least in Madrid. I was like, ¿para llevar? And they're like, what? No, like I had to sit there and sip my coffee. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have so many things to do. It's such an American thing to take your coffee to go, right? And it's like, there's some comfort in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just was like, shoot.
There was, go ahead. No, yes.
Go ahead.
There was some of that in Paris. And luckily I just leaned on Grace and her love of French culture. And she, even though it was her first time in Paris, she was ready. And she literally was like, you're going to shut up, you dumb American, and I'm going to take care of this. I'll tell you how it's done here. And I just was like, okay, because it isn't, you don't just go to the shop and get a styrofoam cup with a lid and go.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Go run to a crime scene like they do in all the procedural shows with their cups of coffee. Jennifer, you were getting excited about something else.
You guys, I have no too much. So one last thing I'm going to share is that, okay, so morning drop off, you see other parents, right? And everyone's very harried and trying to get there. There's just one dad, God bless him. He wears this like knit beanie every day. Like it kind of looks like, no offense to him, wears Waldo. He has like these big glasses. And he walks his kid to school with a ceramic coffee cup.
Oh, wow.
And it's such a bold move. And I've seen him. He gets in his car. I was like, how does he do this? There's an air of confidence and relaxation that he brings by walking his kid to school. The coffee cup must go in the cup holder in the car. Yeah. I just have so many questions. But it's a boss move to just go there with your ceramic cup.
One of my longtime friends worked with Insecurity, but now we own a fantasy basketball team together, know each other 25 years. Crazy thing. He always just water, nothing wrong, but he would have a pint glass with a handle and he brought that in the car. And I was always like, no lid, nothing. He's like, nah, got it. That's so funny. I've never heard that.
Yeah. Okay. I have one more question. Who knew that coffee is where do we all be like, I can't let this go.
And this is going to inspire a lot of comments from people telling me I'm wrong about things. It's great.
I think Dunkin' Donuts Pour Over is going to get some reaction as well. I'm curious about mug choice because for me, the morning coffee is a ritual and part of it is the mug and I get obsessive and I have mugs sometimes like this is my coffee mug period for 3 or 4 months. I wash it and everything, but it's the same mug. And then sometimes like, oh, wow, I'm too attached to this mug. It's lasted 2 years. I need to switch it out so I can use other mugs. Right now it's a Hollywood Bowl mug with this like great art deco design on it, little flat diner kind of mug, but I need to rotate in some other mugs. Ken, do you grab one of the many mugs or do you have the coffee mug for the ritual in the morning?
I have the coffee mug and Grace and I collectively, like a lot of folks, probably have 50 coffee mugs. She needs to use a bunch and maybe 6 a day. Sometimes it seems like, with all her coffee, I have one. It's a larger size Cloud City one that I don't even remember when I got. It might have been a gift or something like that. Maybe one of you got it for me. I don't know. And it's like mostly black, but has like a big picture of Cloud City on it. And it's just the right size. Cause the other ones, like I have a Team Zoc Ken merch cup. I used for my 20 minute coffee show. It's too small. And so when the Nespresso, it's up here, you know, you can't do that. So I have one and I, at Screen Junkies, I used to, this is not my normal habits, but I had one and I wouldn't necessarily wash it. I'd wash it out and I just kept using it until like one of my coworkers was like, I can't be around you anymore. This is tough. You got to take that home. But it was like, like you said, Joseph, it's like, it's part of the routine. It just feels like an extension of your hand.
It's your buddy. It's your morning buddy. Yeah. I got to rotate out, but Hollywood Bowl buddy. Jennifer, we can see on video that you're rocking an Endor mug. Is that your go-to mug or do you switch out?
This is a plug for the Shop Disney. These are the only mugs that I like. I'm very particular about the size and also the rim and how I don't like it when it's too thin or too big. And so it just has to be just right. And this is it. I've had to buy, I think, about 4 of them. I might buy some more. I have a Disneyland one.
Brave.
I don't even know what else I have. Maybe Navarro. I can't remember. No, okay. I think I have a pretty cool one. Anyways, this is all I use. That's it.
Yep. I did that. The rim thickness is a real issue. You get those two fat ones and they like it slides into your mouth as opposed to you actively slipping it.
Yeah. That's great.
Powerful.
That's great.
All right. I think we will be back to talk more coffee questions clearly this is great. This is one of the reasons we do Other Center, is to really have fun discovering even more about one another and our listeners. That is it. Those are our questions. Thank you, Steve. And again, we hope that we didn't shock you too much with our systems. Yeah. And thank you, Chris, for the great coming of age story. Ken, you want to let people know where they can find us?
I do. We're the Force Center podcast, and we are on we're on Twitter, we're on Threads, we're on Hive Social as well. But also, when I say podcast, we're on YouTube, as you can see if you're watching. We appreciate you swinging on over there. Our Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You subscribe to us on YouTube if you want. We're on Instagram as well. Podcast, if you're a podcast listener, is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Tune in and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And I think you can order Force Center coffee mugs there. So go ahead and get it. Patreon.com/Force Center is where you can support us directly. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, KenNapsok.com, for more information. I will be up in Seattle doing two shows at a new wonderful club called Capitol Hill Comedy /Bar. Mark Ellis headlining, Lisa Wallen and myself featuring for Mark. Going to be 2 days of holiday, not themed, but holiday feeling comedy. It's going to be cold up there in Seattle. Ticket information on my website. Jennifer.
Thanks.
You're going to get some good coffee in Seattle.
I have been to the original Starbucks. Too long of a line, but I've been there.
Oh, that's so cool. Someday, someday. You can find me on TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138, Instagram and YouTube at Jennifer Landa.
Excellent. And you can find me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. In particular, I'm enjoying Blue Sky. If you got an invite code, give it a try. If you'd like to check out my holiday comedy album, A Very Holiday Thing, that is on my website on a link to Bandcamp. You can also just go to Bandcamp and search Joseph Scrimshaw. Any buying of albums will help my production company make more short films. So that would be greatly appreciated if you're interested. But for now, that is it. We have aid some cues.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.